السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي رضي الإسلام لعباده دينا ونصب الأدلة على ألوهيته وبينها تبيينا، وكفى بربك هاديا ومعينا. لم يتخذ سبحانه وتعالى ولدا، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، وكبره تكبيرا. يعطي ويمنع، يخفض سبحانه وتعالى ويرفع، يصل ويقطع، ولا يسأل عما يقضي ويصنع. لا شريك له في ملكه، ولا شبيه له ولا نظير. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أيها الإخوة في الله، لم يخلق الله سبحانه وتعالى الناس عبثًا، ولم يتركهم سبحانه وتعالى سدى، بل خلقوا لأمر عظيم، فإليه سبحانه وتعالى يرجعون ويوفون ما اكتسبوا بالقسطاس المستقيم. Brothers and sisters, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who accepted Islam as a religion and a final religion for everyone. The one whom subhanahu wa ta'ala set all the proofs to show and to prove that he is the one who deserves to be worshipped. And he is the only one sufficient for you to guide you and to help you. He did not have a son. There is no partner with him subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dominion. We glorify him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who gives and deprives. He is the one who promotes and demotes. He is the one who reaches and disconnect. He is not to be questioned about what he does. We are. So there is no partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no similitude to him subhanahu wa ta'ala or any resemblance of anyone else. We testify that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammad is his messenger and his servant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers, as we have mentioned before, did not create us in vain. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a great matter. We shall go back to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is going to account us, and he is going to reward us or punish us according to what we do with the precise scale that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to set for every one of us. إن جعت في هذه الدنيا أيها الأخوة أيتها الأخت أو افتقرت أو حزنت أو ظلمت فذكر نفسك بنعيم الجنة. If you feel hungry or thirsty or oppressed or scared or any bad thing that you may have in this world, remind yourself with the Jannah and the bliss of the Jannah. Remind yourself with the complete happiness, with the complete serenity, with the complete security that you will see and you will get in the Jannah. يقول الشاعر هنا في مناظرة لبعض الأدباء, in kind of a debate referring to knowledge and to the brain. Now when we talk about the Jannah, when we talk about anything, without knowledge you're not going to know what you want, and it's not going to get you excited for it. So we wanted to see which is more commended, knowledge or the brain. And here is the lines, or here are the lines that went between the knowledge and the brain. يقول علم العليم وعقل العالم اختلفا من ذا الذي منهما قد أحرز الشرف. The knowledge of the knowledgeable person and the brain of that person, they differed. Which one of them is really the honorable one? Which one is the one who is it? فالعلم قال أنا أدركته غايته، والعقل قال أنا الرحمن بعرفة. Knowledge said, I'm the one who got him where he is at. And the brain said, I am the one who got him to know his creator. فأفصح العلم إفصاحا وقال له. Knowledge was so eloquent, and he said the following. بأين الرحمن في فرقانه اتصف. Which one, in which one of us, he subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran named himself or described himself with? Did he describe himself with the knowledgeable or with the brain? فبان للعقل أن العلم سيده فقبل العقل رأس العلم وانصرف. So it became very evident and clear for the brain that the knowledge is his master. So he kissed his head and he said, Assalamu alaikum. So brother, without knowledge, you will not get to the Jannah. You will not know what the Jannah is. How can you know it if you don't have the knowledge? So the seconds that you spend in seeking knowledge, and just to remind you, I always I like to remind, because we are in the blessed 10 days of the Hijjah. And those 10 days of the Hijjah, I just want to remind you with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من عمل ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيهما أحب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى من هذه، يعني الأيام العشر. قالوا ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله يا رسول الله. قال ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله إلا رجل خرج بنفسه وماله ولم يرجع بأي منهما في شيء، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Look at this short hadith. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no action that you would do in any other days more preferred than the action, any action, act of obedience you do in these blessed 10 days of the Hijjah. When we say any action, could be just one ayah from the Quran. It's better than any big deed you do in different days. This is what the hadith entails. Now, the companions radiallahu anhum, they know what's the highest act in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first thing that their mind went to. Oh, read an ayah is better than striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the hadith says, so let's make sure. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, وَلَا الْجِهَاد فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Not even striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than those? قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله. With an exception. A person went himself and his wealth, and he lost both. This may be equal, not better, equal to that little act you do in those 10 blessed days. So what I recommend, I cannot really imagine anyone who reads Quran fluently not to recite the Quran entirely in those 10 days. That's a shame if you don't, especially with the virtues that we have mentioned. Or extra prayers, a couple of rak'ah at least every day. At night is the best, but every day. Some charity, don't wait for Friday and give your $20. No, every time you come to the masjid, drop $5, $10, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you to do. Kindness. Do you have a problem with any of the brothers? How hard is it for you to go and say, I'm sorry? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always say that there are some ahadith that you really have to memorize all the time and to make them present in your mind so they will pop out. You know how you deal with a computer, you got pop-outs that ruins your day? Now we need pop-outs from our brains that blesses our day. I'll give you an example. In the morning I had a problem with the car, something that has nothing to do with driving and all that, just the noise. And I know what it is, but I just don't know how to tackle it. I asked the brother that I know, he is not working, and he has the time, and it's very simple, just show me, maybe it takes a minute or two. So I asked him, so he was holding on to the door of the masjid, talking to me when I was outside, which appeared to me that he wants to get the reward of staying there until he prays the duha, so he get Hajj and Umrah. And he sat there after the talk and everything. And he said, inshallah, at dhuhr time, I will do it for you. I said, inshallah. I was telling myself, I said, if this person had the hadith in his mind that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wala an yas'a, wala an as'a fi hajati muslim ahabba ilayya min an a'takifa fi masjidi hadha shahra, to fulfill a need for a brother Muslim better for me than to make i'tikaf in this masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi, a whole month. One prayer equal 1,000. Now, what is this person doing? Is he doing i'tikaf? No. If he had to come and help me with that, the place that he's doing or what he is looking for, is it better than i'tikaf a whole month in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that? To show you the importance and the virtue of helping one another. To me, it was no big deal. I mean, nothing is going to happen bad or anything. But I was just telling myself, if this person knows this hadith, and I'm sure he knows it if I tell him the hadith, but the problem is we get the hadith and we just don't really want to act upon it and have it with us to make it present. You memorize the Quran. You know how easy it is for you when you get used to it every month at least to recite it all one time. It becomes so easy. You start to feel that you don't do really much for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it becomes so common to you. You know, some brothers will come to you, brother, mashallah, this Ramadan, I finished the Quran. And you go, wow, you know, you'll be talking to yourself, is it really worth that happiness? Yes, it is. But because you're used to do a lot more than this, you don't feel it. But if you come down for every letter, 10 hasanat, he did an awesome job. So what do you need? You need someone who start telling you about the virtues of the Quran, even though you know it. You want to hear it from someone else. You want to go and read it from a book. So you start to feel, you know how to recite Quran good. Then when you read the hadith, where you will be versus the person who don't know how to recite the Quran, it gets you encouraged to continue on that. The same thing with the charity. You see a person giving $10 and a person giving thousands. He needs to go and read about the virtues of the charity so he continues to charge himself with that. So this is something you want to remind yourself all the time in those 10 days with this hadith, all the time. Anything you do in those 10 days is better than any act, regardless how big it is. And if that doesn't charge you to do good, I don't know what else will help you to do that. Type other things, kindness to your spouse. The women who are left deprived in the house because we're all busy in work and we're all busy in the masajid and all that, I think they deserve some time from you. And the wife's the same way. The husband who never got a decent meal in the house, it's time to fix a nice meal in the house. It's nice to worry about beautifying yourself for your spouse rather than beautifying yourself when you go visit outside for the haram. There is halal and there is haram. أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. You take the bad and you have the good. It's amazing how someone prefers to take something bad when he can have something good and something halal. Not only that, rewarded for that. So it is time for us to reflect on that hadith and to try to better ourselves. And there is nothing better than reconciliating. If you have problems with another person, you owe him something, give it to him. Even if you don't owe him and there's a discrepancy over that and he thinks that you oppressed him and it's something, just give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and watch. One brother, he had something happen good to him yesterday. So I told him, khalas brother, I'm taking you out to celebrate that. He said, no, I'm the one who wanted it. And we fought over it, so we left it there. Okay, we'll go there. Now, another friend of mine spoke with me. I want to invite him out. So I invited him out, but he's coming with us. So when this guy came to pick me up, I told him, I said, brother, I am buying today. And then he swore that I will not pay. And I said, listen, I have a brother. I invite, they said, whoever you bring with you is on me. Said, okay, another brother. I didn't call him Allah. He even spoke with me. And I told him, come to the masjid. There would be someone in the masjid. I did not even tell him where I'm going. Somehow, subhanAllah, the person who was supposed to meet at the masjid, he came with us. So he told him, where are you at? And he said, eat. And he said, hungry and you don't invite. And so he came. I ordered one for him. So I told him, listen, before I say anything, he said, don't embarrass me. If you invite the whole masjid, I'll take care of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with so many things because of what I'm doing. He told me I was doing, and he was about to spend so many thousands of dollars for an illegal issue that he had, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solved it without even reporting to the court. So he wants to show. And this is what I call really people who are hunting and fishing for the Jannah in every way. Our topic is Jannah, and this is our 9th meeting talking about the Jannah, and we haven't really got into the Jannah deep. We might get to smell it today, but not there yet. So all of those acts that living things or experiences that I see, I always connect it and see how a person cares so much. Wallahi, when he did that, he came and whispered in my ear and he said, I took care of everything. I said, Jazakallah khair. And he said, by the way, I just had a call from work. They have given me some work that's going to pay for everything more than double. And I said, subhanAllah. He was just telling me that when we got there, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him because of that. And we have not finished eating. And he said, he's got the money back already. This is the trust. This is the second hadith where you want to have before your face all the time. لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله سبحانه وتعالى حق التوكل لكنتم كالطير تغدو خماسا وتعود بطانا. If you truly rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be like birds. They leave in the morning hungry and they come back full stomach. So how do we get there? Knowledge. Without knowledge you never get there. And with the knowledge, the beauty of it, it makes you look at this. A person wants to pray duha versus he's making i'tikaf for an entire month in the house of the Messenger of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he lost that. Why? Because he listens to the hadith, but he doesn't want to take it into action. You're sitting here. Every lecture, you should come out with at least one thing. Change in your life or act upon. Don't just come and listen to it, alhamdulillah, and you enjoy it and you leave, and what did you benefit from it? You need to have something. You could write something, a hadith or something you benefited from, and act upon it and see how you will have enough knowledge to guarantee you that house that you are here looking for, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arada al-jannah wal-nar wal-na'im, na'im al-jannah والجحيم جحيم جهنم في أسلوب ناجح لإصلاح النفوس. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to us about the virtues of the Jannah and what's in it, and the hell, described the hellfire and what's in it, this is a method that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to better ourselves, to reform ourselves when we read it, to guide ourselves, to behave ourselves, and to break the arrogance of oneself, or the to lock up the self of the person. Sometimes you want to put yourself in jail, not literally. So don't say, "Oh, Sheikh told me that, so that's why I'm go beat up someone." I had to go to jail somehow. He said it's good sometimes once in your life. No, but I mean, like, lock yourself up. You want to go and really refresh yourself with something, and you got used to it, and deprive yourself from it. See how it feels. Wallahi, our children will benefit so much from that. Because our children, whatever they want, you give it to them. Imagine sometimes you don't have the money to give it to them, and see how they behave. they will go crazy. They're used to always, yes, yes, yes. Of course, inshallah, from other group, but those different. But usually we are willing to give up everything for their pleasure. It's not right. It's right to take care of them, but not this much. Sometimes they have to hear no, even if you have it. Can I get this? No. Why not? Because no. Because if you don't, if you let yourself just enjoy everything whenever she wants, then this is spoiling yourself. You don't want to do that. And if you feel sometimes you are arrogant, it is time for you to read about Jahannam and about arrogant people. يُحْشَرُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَمْثَالَ الضَّرُّ عَلَى صُوَرِ الرِّجَالِ أَمْثَالَ الضَّرُّ يَطَأُهُمُ النَّاسِ تَحْتَ أَقْدَابِهِمْ. This is where an arrogant person is going to be. Looking like a man the size of an ant. People are tripping over and stepping over them in Jahannam, in the Day of Judgment. Why? You want to be up here where you are in the sight of Allah, down under the feet of people. You want to be elevated in the right way, then put your head on the ground for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be up there. But if you want to be up because you are better than people, you feel you're more knowledgeable, or you feel like you're more beautiful or more blessed, this is where you end. And as they always say, the laughter, the winner is the one who has the last laugh. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. Wrongdoers, they always laugh from good people. But who laughs at who at the Day of Judgment? Good people laugh from bad people. Who is the winner? Those who are good. So the last laugh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Jannah and described the hellfire for us. Because some people, they like to hear good things. You know, I tell you, Shaykh, you always talk about Jannah. Tell us about Jannah. And if you tell him about Jannah, he will work hard for it. He likes that. Some other person, you can tell him whatever you have in Jannah, it's not ringing a bell. Then come and tell him a couple of ayat from the Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he tells you, لا يفتر عنهم وهم فيه مبلسون وهم يصطرخون فيها ربنا أخرجنا نعمل صالحا غير الذي كنا نعمل. They're screaming, they're yelling, they're begging. Person goes, oh, this is not an easy place to go. He changes. Some people it works both. They like to hear about the Jannah and they like to hear about the hellfire. What kind of people are there? The best ones. Because this is what the Anbiya are. Whenever you see yourself so relaxed in this world, talk about hellfire. Remind yourself of that. Whenever you see yourself so depressed in this world, everything is work and learn and salah, zakah, and hajj, talk about the Jannah. Get you encouraged. And this is how the Prophet عليهم السلام والصحابة رضي الله عنهم كانوا يعملون. يقول لو أنهم خلعوا حجاب الران عن قلوبهم. If those people who are deviated, if they remove the veil that covers their face and the cover of ignorance that covers their eyes, they would talk to themselves about the bliss of the Jannah that is permanent. How much horrible things you're going to face here versus what you are going to get in the Jannah when we get to the description of the Jannah. It's a house where you don't suffer. A house that you don't feel tired. A house that you don't feel sick. A house that you don't feel bored. A house that doesn't have envy. It doesn't have spiteness. It has places to sit. Best places to sleep. Best decoration you can have. Best pleasurable things that you can never think of or imagine or picture, you have it there. Now, isn't that really worth to put every effort in this dunya to get that? Look what you do in order for you to get a degree, to graduate. You put 4 to 5 years consistent study and go to school and drive and suffer everything so you can get that degree and graduate to be someone who can get a job. How much of that? Like we come back to those 10 days, 24 hours a day, to read the Quran completely, maximum 2 hours a day. Only 10 days, I'm not saying every day. 2 times 10, 20 hours. It's not even one day. 1 out of 10 for Allah. 10 days for yourself to do your worldly things, and 1 day to specifically put for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say, no, you know, Sheikh, I did really have intention, but I didn't really have the time. Why don't you sacrifice something for that? Some of the things that you have to do may wait another 10 days or another week. But we don't really value the reward of the Jannah. If I tell you have 10 days, you have to study 20 hours in order for you to pass the test to graduate, wallahi, you will study the whole 10 days, not the 20 hours. Why? Because boy, you can see, because many people graduated before you. They worked hard and they graduated. But you haven't seen someone say, hey brother, I went to Jannah yesterday. You want to hear about it? We haven't heard that. This is like someone tells you about the grave. Is this, Sheikh, true that you get this and this in the grave? And I said, brother, when I go there, I'll let you know. All I know is what the Prophet ﷺ told us. He told us you get this and you get that. But above that, I don't know. Some of the scholars said so and so. Yeah, but it's his opinion. He's never been there. Based on what he knows from the Ahadith, he ended up with that. Is that, does that mean it's perfectly true? No, it's not. It's an opinion. So here, because we don't look at the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah. First thing he described the believers, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. That's number one thing. You believe in the unseen. I've never seen the Jannah and I'm working so hard for it. I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, I've never seen Him. Let alone talk about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many people think that we saw him. Did you see him? He's a human, yeah. He was born in Mecca and died in Medina, right? Or the other way? No, that way. We know how tall he is, how beautiful he is, when he got married, what he did, and how he became a messenger. We know all of that. But have we seen him? No. Do we love him? Way too much. We are willing to do something haram for his sake. Is that good? No. This is exaggeration of the love that the Prophet ﷺ told us, لا تطروني كما أطرت اليهود أو كما أطرت النصارى عيسى بن مريم. Don't exaggerate your love to me like the Christian did to Isa. What happened? They made him God. Only I am a messenger and a servant. Look, a messenger and a servant. Because if he says a messenger, you might start thinking, a messenger, he takes, he hears from God. He's like God. Or maybe related to him or close. Things might come to your head. But he said servant. That kills it. That's it. He has nothing to do with lordship. He is a servant of God and his messenger. This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants from us to do. So think of the Jannah where people, they don't get sick and they don't feel bad, and you have all the beautiful things that we will be talking inshallah about. Tayyib, let me tell you a wonderful story inshallah, and we will conclude with that story. Does that mean, brother, what happened to the watch? This is a living watch. Where? Oh, that's a watch? Boy. Alhamdulillah, that's a good one. I know that you want something with $200 that people can't see, which is good sometimes. That way they don't keep looking at the watch and say, where's the imam? Where's the imam? It's 10 seconds past the hour. Wallahi, I didn't even know that there's a watch there. With the glasses, it's not even helping. I don't know. Anyone can see it, really? Is it very clear?
Yeah.
Well, you need to try from this side. The watch is put there for the imam, not for you. When you're standing over there, you want to see that. Now, I don't care how expensive that is. I like that. I know that you want... What is that hole for, anyway? I think it's designed for a watch to be put inside. Perfect. They're going to close it? Type, listen to this. يقول يعني بعض الناس يقول الشيخ العريفي يقول يجلس إلي أو جلس إلي رجل مهموم وقال يا شيخ مللت من الغربة فقلت له عسى الله أن يجعل رجوعك إلى أهلك فبكى وقال والله لو عرفت شوقهم إلي هل تصدق أن أمي سافرت 400 ميل لتدعو لي عند قبر الشيخ فلان وفلان طبعا يتكلم في صيغة مدح وتسأله أن يردني إليها تسأل الشيخ أن يرد ولدها إليه ثم قال هو طبعا رجل مبارك هذا الشيخ الميت تقبل منه الدعوات ويسمع دعاء الداعين حتى بعد موته. Yeah, he's telling a story, the Sheikh, that a person came to him and he said, I'm so tired and bored of being away from my family. So he told him, comforting him, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way for you to go back home and to see your family. He told him, can you believe, ya Sheikh, my mother loves me so much to the point that she had to travel 400 kilometers so she can make dua near the grave of Sheikh so and so. Can you imagine how much she loves me? She had to make that trip to make a dua on a grave. He's talking, bragging about it. And he said, you know, Sheikh, he is a righteous person who was in that grave, and he hears our supplications even after his death. He's telling you that this is, yeah, you probably hear about that, and he said, oh, that was at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nowadays it's more than the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam they do that. And then he says another person, يقول حدثني بعض المشايخ أنه كان على صعيد عرفات والناس في بكاء ودعوات رفعوا أكفهم إلى الملك العلام قال وبينما نحن في خشوعنا لفت نظري شيخ كبير قد انحنى ظهره وهو يردد يا شيخ فلان أسألك أن تكشف كربتي اشفع لي ارحمني يبكي وينتفض فصحت به اتق الله كيف تدعو غير الله هذا عبد مملوك لا يسمعك ولا يجيبك ادعو الله وحده فالتفت إلي ثم قال إليك عني يا عجوز أنت ما تعرف قدر الشيخ عند الله أنا أؤمن يقينا أنه ما تنزل قطرة من السماء ولا تنبت حبة من الأرض إلا بإذن هذا الشيخ. هذا مش كلام من هون, يعني الشيخ واحد متكلم معه شخصيا في الحج. يقول one sheikh reported to this sheikh al-Arifi, he said that he was in Arafat making dua and he was attracted by someone who's making so much dua and crying and shaking and everything, and when he listened to him he was making dua to a deceased, a dead sheikh, and telling him help me relieve my problems, relieve my stress, have mercy on me and such and such. He said I couldn't resist saying something, and I said taqillah, who you're calling upon besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He doesn't hear you, he cannot help you. And he told him, get away from me, old man. You don't know this man, how big his status or how high his status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I believe from the bottom of my heart that not a drop of water falls from the sky, not a seed that comes out from earth or grow from earth, but with the permission of the Sheikh. What is left? Why don't you just call him God and get it over with? These are real things happening. Listen to this. This is because they are far away from La ilaha illallah. I want to tell you this story. Amr ibn Jamuh radiyallahu anhu كان له صنم اسمه مناف يتقرب إليه ويسجد بين يديه. Amr ibn Jamuh is one of the companions who used to be known with his handicap in his leg. He limps. And it was a strong one. This companion, radiallahu anhu, he was an unbeliever. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, we know that he sent Mus'ab ibn Umair to Medina to teach people there. Naturally, he has the knowledge to teach. What happened with this knowledge that he taught? Almost every house in the Medina, they either accepted Islam or Islam entered the house. So they heard his children, the children of Abu al-Jamuh, they were there, they accepted Islam. But they hid it from their father. They wanted to present it to him in a different way. So this Amr ibn al-Jamuh radiallahu anhu, he used to have an idol. His name is Manaf. He used to bow for him and he used to ask him, and he worships him. How old was he? 60 years old on doing this to an idol. So his children wanted to do something and they don't dare to tell him that they accepted Islam. So they said, "Oh father, a prophet or a man came, claims he's a prophet, and people heard about him and many people followed him and accepted Islam." So he said, "How about if we follow him like those people?" So look what he said. قَالَ لَا أَفْعَلْ حَتَّى أَسْأَلْ مَنَافْ أَنَا اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمُ. يعني والله لو تحكيها لولد هلا بصور يضحك عليك. أنا مش عارف كيف الناس, يعني I can't imagine people talking, conversing with idols. And if you tell that to a child, you know, you have a rock or something, go talk to him, you know, he will tell dad. Children, they use the word drunk, not for literally drunk. Like you lost your mind. And that's why some of us really, they caught that word from somewhere, from public school or so. But they don't use it in the same way that they use it. And we get so angry, some of the parents told me, "Can you imagine? My son told me I'm drunk." I said, "It's all right. He doesn't mean alcohol. He knows you don't drink that. He means that you lost your brain. I don't know what you told him." That's what they mean. They mean like your mind is not there. So they told him, "Dad, what do you think? People accepted Islam and followed that man," referring to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "So how about if we follow him?" And he said, "You know, I don't do anything unless I go and ask my God. I'm going to ask Manaf and see what he says." قام عمرو إلى مناف فوقف بين يديه. He went there, stood before him, and he said, "Ya Manaf, قد علمت بخبر هذا القادم." MashaAllah. Why didn't he tell you first? He told him, "You heard about that man who came." It's like, if he heard about it, why didn't he tell you about it? Well, naturally he didn't. But this is how he's doing the question and the answer. يقول وإنما ينهانا عن عبادتك فأشر علي يا مناف. He told him, "This man, all he does is he tells me to not worship you. So go ahead and tell me, what should I do?" Now you've been worshiping an idiot person who's been worshipped for 60 years. All of a sudden he's going to tell you, "Go ahead and listen to him. Don't worship me anymore." He's not going to do that, even assuming that he talks. 60 years you've been worshiping him, all of a sudden just by a statement he's going to tell you, "I tell you what, go ahead and follow him. I'll just sit here and do nothing, wait for another person to come and worship." So he left him with that. طبعاً, of course, there's no answer. فأعاد عليه. He asked him again. He did not answer. Look at the, يعني, instead of saying, "This is an idiot who doesn't listen, who doesn't talk, he's never talked to me 60 years, he never conversed to me," he said, لَعَلَّكَ غَضِبْتُ. Maybe you got angry at me. You don't like that question. How could you? How dare you? وَإِنِّي سَأَسْكُتُ عَنْكَ أَيَّامٍ حَتَّى يَزُولَ الْغَضَبُ. I'm going to be quiet for days until you calm down. Maybe then you come and give me the answer. حَلَّ الْأَوْلَادِ بِدَهُمْ يَعْمَلُوا خِطَّةً. His children want to do something. فَلَمَّا أَظْلَمَ اللَّيْلِ أَقْبَلَ أَبْنَاؤُهُ إِلَى مَنَاعٍ. Now they know where the idol is. So the children will become dark. His children and some other external help from other people, they made a plan to come and steal that God, but not permanently steal it, because they want to pass a message to him that this is not deserved worshipping. This is like Ibrahim alayhi salam. Qala inni saqil. Nadar of an-nujum. He looked at the sky because they believe in the skies, in the stars. They used to worship them. So it looks like he did something like what they did. And he said, I'm sick. Actually, it means I'm sick of you. You can do that sometimes for a person who bugs you a lot. If he asks you something, I'm really sick of you. Qala inni saqim. So what is the point? He wants to lag behind and he wants to do something to prove to them that they are not God. And he was successful in doing that. It is not like some of the books that you have that teaches children and tells you that Ibrahim alayhi salam used to worship the stars before he worshipped Allah, and they use that. فَلَمَّا رَأَ الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً. When he saw the moon, he said, this is my God. And this is a method to lead to something that they are not gods. With the proof to that, look at the end of those ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. At the end, in the beginning, he said, and such we show to Ibrahim alayhi salam the dominions of heavens and earth, so he will be among those people with content belief. After he did claim like, this is my God, for the star, for the sun, for the moon, and so forth, at the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. This is our proof, our method, that knowledge we have given to Ibrahim so he can win against his people and show them who is the real God. It's not something that he really worshipped. So here they wanted to do something similar to that. So what did they do? They went in the middle of the night, they took Manaf and they took him to a pit where dirt and filth and everything is dumped over there, and they threw him there. I mean, they did not hear something. Where are you going? What are you doing to me? No, nothing, just an idiot was in that hole. Amr ibn al-Jamuh, he wakes up at night, you know, to make the hajjah sometimes. He looked, there's no idol there. Boy, قال ويلكم, he screamed at his people. Now, of course, he knows, he did not suspect that they did something. It's like he's just too alarmed for what happened and want to mobilize the entire house to look for it. وَيْلَكُمْ, what happened to my God? So everyone was quiet, you know, it's like, we're busy, Dad, you look for it. So he naturally, just like we do most of the times when we need something so bad, we don't wait for the children, because the children are not going to move. It's going to take you an hour, so you just go and do the job yourself. So he went, and he was nervous and everything, and he went outside and started looking for him, and he found him in that hole. So he took him out, he cleaned him, he washed him and put some perfume on him and everything, and he said, Wallahi ya Manaf, law alimtu man fa'ala hadha la ukhziyannahu. If I know who did that to you, I will disgrace him. But you're in good hands, alhamdulillah. I brought you back. Now it's supposed to be the other way. I took care of my God. This is basically what he did. كانت الليلة الثانية أقبل أبناؤه في الصنم إلى الصنم فجعلوه وألقوه في تلك الحفرة. The second night they did the same thing. Woke up for tahajjud, you know, consistent on that. Did not find غضب وهدد وتوعد. This time started to threaten. Wallahi, if I know who does this and who does that, and he went outside looking, he found him. Naturally, he went to the same place, because he figured that where his God likes to go. So he went there, took him, and this time he started to kiss him before he went to sleep, and he told him, yani this is after several times they did that to him, he told him, yani with, he said, with all due respect, وَيْحَكْ يَا مَنَاثْ إِنَّ الْعَنْزْ لَتَمْنَعْ أُسْتَهْ. الأست المؤخر يعني. He said, يعني يا مناف, sheep and goats they protect their modesty from other males. And they're animals. And someone is taking you and dumping you with the filth and with the trash and you don't do anything about it. With all due respect to you, I don't mean to hurt your feeling, but makes sense to me. But I understand. So what did he do? He said, وَلَكِنْ ثُمَّ عَلَّقَ فِي رَأْسِ الصَّنَمِ سَيْفًا وَقَالَ ادْفَعْ عَدُوَّكَ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ. He said, okay, all this time maybe you're not muscular enough. Here he put a sword, hung it on his neck, and he said, next time someone comes to grab you, cut his head, and don't worry. They can't even call 911 if they want to. So, فَلَمَّا جَنَّ اللَّيْلِ حَمَلْ الْفِتْيَ الصَّنَمِ هَلْمَرَّ عَجَّبَالِ وَرَبَطُوهُ بِكَلْبْ مَيِّتْ وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي بِئْرِ يَسْتَمِعْ فِيهِ النَّتَرْ. Now they took the idol, they tied a dead dog to his neck, and they put him in a well that is meant يعني, to be for literally trash. The sheikh woke up for tahajjud again. Not there. So he went to look for him. Now this is a little bit hard because it's not the same place. He looked for a while and found him in that well. So he stood when he saw the dog hanging on him. And he saw a fox climbing on top of him and he urinated on his head while he was watching. And he's, you know, all of them poetic men at that time. So he stood and he said, وَرَبٌّ يَبُولُ الثُّعْبَانُ بِرَأْسِهِ لَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ بَالَتْ عَلَيْهِ الثَّعَالِبُ وَرَبٌّ يَبُولُ الثُّعْبَانُ بِرَأْسِهِ لَقَدْ خَابَتْ مَنْ بَالَتْ عَلَيْهِ الثَّعَالِبُ. He said, a god that a fox urinates on his head, how disgraced يعني that god if a fox urinates on his head. And then he accepted Islam. Now look at the point that they were doing. They were getting him to know that this is not God. He couldn't protect himself from us. He couldn't protect himself from a dead dog. He couldn't protect himself from a fox. And he has the things that usual people protect themselves with. He accepted Islam. Now once he said La ilaha illallah, look what that word, because he understands what it means. Here we have to get a book about Tawheed to read about that for a month to know what La ilaha illallah means. And we're not willing to do that. You know why? Because we already know it. This is what all of us claim. But if you bring a book about La ilaha illallah and you ask a few questions, most of us would fail. So he said, La ilaha illallah. He became a Muslim. This La ilaha illallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created heavens and earth for it. He created the Jannah for it. He created the hellfire for it. He created everything for it, to just for La ilaha illallah, for the Tawheed. He punishes you if you don't know it or you don't accept it. And he rewards you if you do it. This heaven and this earth was created because of that. Because وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ. So this whole creation, us, is to serve him. And we cannot serve him unless we believe in La ilaha illallah. Heavens and earth created for that purpose because they are created for us, to serve us. So in essence, if we're not here, they're not here. So everything was created for La ilaha illallah. Look what it did to Amr ibn al-Jamuh radiyallahu an once he accepted it. He radiyallahu an in the battle of Badr, the Muslims were about to go and to intercept the caravan, and we know the story. Then after that it turned to a real fight. Amr ibn al-Jamuh wants to go, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his children told him you can't go, you're too old, and at the same time you're handicapped. He felt so bad. At the battle of Uhud he wants to go. His children wanted to stop him. This time no, he determined. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining. He said, Ya Rasulullah, inna baniya yuriduna an yahbisuni 'an al-khuruj ma'aka ila al-jihad. He said, my children want to deprive me from having the honor of go and fight the pagans with you. Qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna Allah adarak. You have an excuse, don't worry about that. Qal ya Rasulullah, wallahi inni la arju an ata bi arjati hadhihi fil jannah. I don't need anything. I just want to step into the Jannah with this crippled leg or handicapped leg, into the Jannah with it. Yani basically I want to die for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to go to the Jannah that you have promised us. فخرج فقاتل, he fought those idol worshippers until he died. After 46 years, he radiallahu an, of course, died. After 46 years, there was a flood that took the graves, swept the graves of the companions who died in the Battle of Uhud. So they wanted to take care of those. They dug the grave of Abdullah, Amr ibn al-Jamuh. His body was exactly the same way he was buried, as if he was asleep. Nothing, no smell, nothing, exactly the way it is. So we say, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him in this world. Well, we know the honor in the hereafter, but here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him in this world. We read his story and we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him in this world before he even goes to the hereafter. So how can someone, what is the way out? I leave you with this hadith. Mu'adh radiallahu anh used to walk with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and right behind him sometimes. Now we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to walk, he doesn't walk with the companions. They walk ahead of him and he lags behind. Why? Because angels protecting him from the back. He doesn't put anyone between him and the angels. Here, Mu'adh was walking with the Prophet. Sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks fast. Well, this is the normal walk. He walks fast ahead of people because this is how he walks. He rides and he puts behind him his slave and sometimes other people to show you his humbleness. Usually a king or all that just like to sit alone and doesn't want anyone to bug him. So he turned around and looked at Mu'adh and he said, "Ya Mu'adh," this is the way of teaching children. Mu'adh was not an old man. He was like less than the teens, maybe 10, 12 years old. أتدري ما حق الله على العباد? Do you know what is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us? قال وما حق العباد على الله يا رسول الله? قال حق العباد حق الله على العباد يا رسول الله? قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حق الله على العباد أن يعبدوه ولا يشركوا به شيء. His right subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us is to worship him and not to associate partners with him. قال أتدري يا معاذ ما حق العباد على الله? Now, do you know what the rights of people upon Allah? We don't have no rights upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave us that. He made that right upon himself subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. قال وما حق العباد على الله يا رسول الله? قال أن لا يعذبهم. And naturally, if you're not punished, then you are in Jannah. This is the Jannah. What did we just tell you here in this story? I told you something that you probably did not pay attention to. When I said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything for la ilaha illallah, this is, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us, this is the key to Jannah. La ilaha illallah is the key to the Jannah. We're looking good so far, right? Because now we got the key. The key for the Jannah, but every key can come flat. And the key with flat, it's not going to open anything. It has teeth. The teeth are what? The pillars of Islam. I'm not going to tell you about those because you know it. So we got the key, and we got the key that really opens. So before we use the key and get into the Jannah for next time, I'm going to close with this short hadith. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تراح رائحة الجنة من مسيرة 500 عام. You smell the Jannah from a distance of 500 years. 500 years distance. Now it could be running, could be riding a horse, let it be walking. A trip 500 years, how far can you get This is how far you can smell the Jannah. This is how fragrance or the fragrance. But there's a sad part in it. يقول ولا يجد ريحها منان ولا عاق ولا مدمن خمر. Person who does things and he starts to tell you, he gives you some health, and he says, I'm the one who gave you the health day so and so, you're not going to smell that. Boy, can you imagine 500 years a person smells it and you can't smell it? Look how far you're going to be away from the Jannah. Definitely you're going to be somewhere else. Wala aq, a person who is not kind to his parents. Wala mudmin khamr, a person who is an alcoholic. Let's close all of those because our concentration is on the smell of the Jannah. If that Jannah, 500 years you can smell it, the best perfume you have in this world, how far can you smell it? Can you smell it a distance of 1 hour walk? No, 500 years, the smell. Can you imagine when you get in it, how is it going to smell? Some of them are going, it's going to choke you, brother. No, the closer you get to the Jannah, the better it is. Don't measure things according to what we have here. The name is the same, but the entity is different. So alhamdulillah, you can smell the Jannah and we will smell it very closely. We have the key. So next time, inshallah, we're going to open and take a peek from the windows. We'll see inshallah the wonderful things that we will see in the Jannah. You know, when you take a peek from the window, you don't know. You get too excited, you're gonna just push that window open and jump in there, and inshallah we'll get into that. But I wanted to share that in a different way. Instead of having the key, now you have the key. Until next week, inshallah, which we will not be here. You know why? It's Eid. I mean, you know, I'm sure you want to go and say salam alaikum to someone you like. So not next week, inshallah, the following week, we will, inshallah, get in there. And don't forget, the Texas conference is coming on the 21st of this month. Texas conference in Houston, Texas Da'wah conference, TDC. You can go to tdc.com, inshallah, and you get all those in case for registrations and for travel and who is going there. Just go to the computer, inshallah. I don't know if they provided any information for you here, but just keep that in mind, inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If you have a question, you can go ahead and ask.